Good morning. Good to see all of you here again. And today we are, of course, celebrating all that we have in Christ, but we're also celebrating family and God's wisdom in designing family as we honor our mothers today. And that brings me to one announcement, and that is that at Grandma's Beach Treats, they're giving free ice cream to mothers today in honor of Mother's Day. And they're hoping that the husbands or fathers will come as well. So, and bring the rest of the family too, if possible. Yeah, yep. Yeah, I suppose I'm not supposed to advertise commercial establishments from up here, am I? a big thank you to everyone who helped clean the church and do maintenance and so on Friday, and we're seeing some of the obvious results of that. So thanks so much, those of you who were able to be here. Also, there will be a gift from us to mothers afterwards after the service. So that'll be handed out at the back door. If you're a mother, there's a gift there, and make sure that you don't go home without that. Yes. Oh, your turn. Yeah. It's a good day to be together as a congregation, and we're glad to see Bob back too. Bob's going to give a little 1 or 2 minute testimony of praise in a little while. Well, let's enter the formal part of our service today. Get you to stand, and we're going to open with prayer and ask the Lord to bless us as we bless him. Lord God, it is a great day to be together as your family. We look to you as the one who has given us all things. Lord, you have blessed us with all of the blessings of salvation in Jesus, and God, we are here to glorify you because of that, to again enter your gates with thanksgiving and come into your courts with praise. And we also want to honor our mothers, Lord. You are the one who designed family from the very beginning, Lord. So we praise you because of your wisdom. We know that the scriptures tell us that you designed family for a number of reasons, but one is to pass faith from one generation to the next, fathers and mothers explaining the gospel to our children, God. And so we thank you for your great wisdom in that. And Lord, we want to honor our mothers, grandmothers, and so on today. So Lord, we invite your spirit to move in us and among us. Speak today, Lord, empower and energize our praise so that it is fragrant and pleasing and acceptable to you. And God, we want to give you all the glory and thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.
Lord, we worship you this morning. Lord, we adore you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives, Jesus. We worship you and praise you. God, this morning, Lord, even as we take up an offering, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to give back the very little that you have given us, Lord, from the very much that you've given us and the little things that we bring this morning. And let's just pray, God, that you'll just use it for your kingdom, Lord. Use it as you wish, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you once again, Lord, for your presence this morning. And we want to meet with you. We are waiting on your presence this morning. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. And children, please go with Miss Olivia. And
as I mentioned, we want to give Bob a little bit of time this morning just to give you an update, note of praise.
My voice is not that clear, so please, I apologize for that. During the past 2 months, I've been taking some treatment, some relatively new experimental stuff down in Mississauga. What they do is they put you in a chamber for 2 hours. It's like a decompression chamber, like DC divers. It's supposed to help to restore some of the radiation damage that cancer does to the treatment. Anyway, when I went down, it was sort of overwhelming at first. There were beautiful staff of technicians there that take care of you. But I had somebody else on my shoulder taking care of me. My Lord. The first experience was the first day. A little bit of one, but I asked the Lord, you know, and I said, I've come this far. Take me through it. And I was reminded by a verse in the Bible, one of my favorites is Psalms 18:2, 1 and 2, where God is my strength. I drew the strength off of that prayer where he says he's my rock that I can take shelter in. So I at first, it was peace. I felt peace going into the chamber. I felt memories of this church every Sunday. It just was easy. After 293 hours, it became so easy for me that God was pushing me a little even further. He said, some of the people that were there were very overwhelmed and claustrophobic. And I asked permission from the technician so I could talk with them. And they said, sure. So each one I saw that was very nervous, I sat with them. And through the Holy Spirit, they just went into those chambers. As I told them, today, it's a piece of cake. The Lord's with you. And through all of that, anyway, I want to thank the church, the pastors here, the elders, for all your prayers. Because through the Holy Spirit, I felt those prayers. I felt those, my church family, which I consider my true friends in Christ. So I thank you all again for your prayers and for this loving holy place. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bob. We have quite a few things to pray for this morning in our congregation and people who are related to our congregation. I'll just read a verse from Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says there, "Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And then he says, "Pray also for me that whatever I speak, whatever words may be given to me, will make known the mystery of the gospel." So we're to pray for one another. We're to pray for the needs of the saints. And we want to continue to, my list here fills in a little bit different order than yours. So I'll try and keep up with you. Elaine's daughter, Amy, whose fiancé is Henry in Nova Scotia, was in an accident on Wednesday night. So he's in critical condition with broken ribs and bleeding in his lungs. And the update is that they've induced a coma, actually, until they're sure that he can breathe on his own. The update is that they're doing some pain management now with fentanyl and an epidural. Elaine says he's not a believer, so we need to pray for his salvation, perhaps through the situation. And also, he's looking at possible surgery since his broken ribs could possibly puncture his lungs. Victoria is in need of prayer as well. She's awaiting surgery, and that's May 23rd. Victoria, is that right? So May 23rd, and she needs to make sure that she doesn't, or that she stays healthy, doesn't get sick, and we want to pray that the surgery will go as planned, especially for Dr. Cheng, that the Lord will guide her hands and give her team wisdom during that surgery, and that Victoria will be able to deal with the stress of waiting and making sure that she stays healthy. Robert, Gail has asked for prayer for Robert, who's in the RVH, needs to have his white blood cell count and red blood cell count up before he can have his final chemotherapy, so we'll remember to pray for that. Also, Stephanie De Silva has been told that she has breast cancer, and so she is waiting for surgery in order to determine what stage that's at, but I think it's an early stage, so we can pray for that. Also, Shauna's friend, from her deaf church in Milton from years ago that she knows from there and also from the Deaf Women's Board, is looking for a job. She's been looking for 2 years and hasn't been able to find a job and is not managing financially. So we need to remember that as well. Also, Norman came through lip surgery well, so he's praising the Lord and I'm sure in still need of healing. And also, Doreen's son Shane is having 5 teeth extracted. When was that, Doreen?
Tuesday?
Okay. So quite a number of things to pray for today. So let's remember all these requests. Lord God, we are coming into your presence today knowing that you are a God of compassion, a God who invites us to pray. And Lord, we've been commanded to pray for one another as part of bearing one another's burdens. And so God, we want to lift our prayers to you today. Lord, all these different situations, God, we pray for Robert in his medical need, Lord, of having his white and red blood cell counts increased. Lord, you know the workings of his body, and we pray that you would touch him and cause that to happen and heal him. Lord, we pray for complete healing from this cancer that he's been dealing with. Lord, we pray for Stephanie as well in the early stages of breast cancer. We pray that you'll touch her as well and bring her back to full health. Use whatever doctors, oncologists are involved in that, Lord, to treat. But Lord, we look to you and trust in you to heal. And Lord, we pray for strong faith in these situations. God, we pray for the ability to look to you for your healing, Lord, for your peace. And Lord, for the families that are involved in these situations, we pray that for them, Lord. We also want to remember Elaine's daughter's fiance who's been in this accident. And again, Lord, we pray for the doctors who treat him, and we pray for healing for him. We pray that that would be an open door for the gospel, the entry of the gospel into his heart, Lord. So pray for Elaine and for Amy and the rest of the family who are concerned about him as he is in the coma and they're trying to manage his pain. God, we pray for that whole situation, that you would superintend that according to your will. We pray for Victoria as well, waiting for surgery on May 23rd. We pray for her as she waits, that you'll give her peace. We pray that you will, again, guide the doctors involved, Dr. Chang and the whole team, God, and we pray for complete healing for Victoria. She comes through that. Lord, we pray for her too, that you'll give her strong faith and peace in her heart, Lord, as you accomplish your purpose in her situation too. And Lord, we pray for Shauna's friend. We pray that this friend who is looking for a job and has been for a long time, who's not managing financially, Lord, that she will be able to locate work that she's able to do. And so, Lord, work in her behalf, we pray. We pray for Norman that you'll continue to heal the surgery on his lip, and we praise you with him that this surgery went well. And we also give you praise for Bob's treatments, Lord, and we thank you for the way that he and Cavell were able to come through these with your peace, Lord. We look to you for continued care over Bob and his physical situation. Lord, we also want to remember Doreen's son, Shane, who's having a major extraction of teeth on Tuesday. Lord, again, we pray for your care for him, and Lord, that you would give peace to him, to the rest of the family. And Lord, we look to you as a congregation. We look to you for all of these cares and concerns. Lord, you have placed in our hearts a love for one another, a compassion for all these who are suffering in various ways. God, we know that your will ultimately in your eternal kingdom is to banish all suffering, and that when your will is to heal, that it demonstrates what your kingdom is like, God. And so, Lord, we are enjoined. James tells us that we need to pray for the healing of the sick. And so, Lord, we remind you of that prayer, and we affirm that you are our God, and that we believe with the faith in our hearts that you have placed there, Lord. We believe the promises that you have given to us. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you have given to us in Jesus as part of your family, Lord. I pray for all of us here who are facing other situations. God, many of us are facing different kinds of seasons of life. And I pray, God, that you would give us the ability to look to you in faith, to be reminded each day that your Spirit is in us and leading us, God. I pray that as we face decisions, that we will be blessed with your wisdom as we call on you for that. I pray, too, for forgiveness in our failures and our sinfulness, Lord. As you make us aware of that, help us to turn away from the ways of the world and to be strengthened by your Spirit to walk in a way that pleases you. Help us, Lord, as well to be patient in our circumstances and have strength, your strength, Lord, to go through the circumstances that you have ordained for us to walk in, because we know you have a purpose in that. Lord, the way that we endure suffering is a way that you display your glory to other people. You show yourself who you are by the way that we walk through our suffering, Lord. So help us and give us strength in any way in which you have called us to difficult circumstances, God. Help us to be patient with others who normally we would not love that much. God, help us to be loving towards the unloving. Put your love in our hearts to a greater extent, Lord, so that we have patience and compassion with all those that we come in contact with, Lord, our neighbors, our colleagues at work and at school, Lord, people that we come in contact with in stores and in public places. God, help us to display your love to them. So we thank you that you put your Spirit in our hearts in order to do all these things. You're transforming us. God, what an amazing thing that is to transform our stubborn hearts. And we thank you for your word and your Spirit. And we thank you for Jesus. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. Praise team.
Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have blessed us with, Lord. Out of all of these blessings today, especially, we are reminded and thankful for all the mothers in this church. And God, we thank you so much for their sacrifice and all their hard works that pour in, Lord, to the family, in their own family, to the church, and to the people around them, and to the entire world here, God. So we thank you so much for them today. And thank you, Lord, that they just make things so much more beautiful when they're around. And I just pray, God, that, Lord, today that we'll not just celebrate today, but every day that we'll celebrate our mothers. And I thank you, Lord, for Christina even too, Lord, for the blessing that she is to our home and to this church, Lord, and to the community around us, Lord Jesus. Even as she come up here to preach your word, Holy Spirit, God, please speak through her today and be with her as she come up here and proclaim your word, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, God, that you'll be glorified in all the things that we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." May God's word quicken our hearts, to receive his message from his servant.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day, and thank you. And it's such a joy to have my own mother here this morning. And so many of you have impacted my life, not only physically coming alongside of me, but praying for me over the years and babysitting, and also spiritually, praying for my children, ministering to my children. So I'm thankful for each one of you here today as well. As Judy has read, we are going to be looking into the book of Exodus, chapter 2. But I just want to commit this time to the Lord. Excuse my voice. I hope you can hear me well. God, I thank you for your word. God, that it never returns void. God, may you use the words that I share today to glorify you and only you. God, may the mothers and the women in this room be blessed and honored for who you have created them to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today I'm going to be speaking to you about a mother who is actually nameless in our text. Her name wasn't mentioned at all in chapter 2. And usually when you think of great women of faith, many women come to your mind. Maybe it's Deborah, maybe it's Ruth, Esther, Mary, or the mother of Jesus. And these women truly are notable pillars of faith in the stories of scriptures. But today, I'm going to talk to you about a woman whose name was squeezed in alongside a long list of her bloodline 4 chapters after her profound story was told in Exodus chapter 6. But praise God for the nameless woman today who we are going to be speaking of, and that is Jochebed. Perhaps you don't know her name when I say that, but you would know her by her deeds. She was Moses' mother. The mother of Moses, Jochebed, was a mother of actually 3 famous people in the Bible. She was the mother of Miriam, a prophet. She was the mother of Aaron, which was the first high priest of Israel. And she was the mother of Moses, the deliverer of Israel. My message title today is called Let Go and Let God. Most of us who are familiar with the Bible and familiar with the Old Testament in particular know of great leaders such as Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David and Solomon, and perhaps more importantly, a man named Moses. You see, Moses was one of the ones who was responsible for leading God's people out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Moses was the one in Exodus 20 who God met with on Mount Sinai. God gave Moses the 10 commandments, which he would eventually give to God's people. It was Moses that lifted up the rod, and the Bible says when he lifted up the rod, the sea was divided, and the people walked through dry land to escape the Egyptians that were trying to be brought back to slavery. You see that if it wasn't for Jochebed, and of course God, Moses may not have been able to live out all that he was meant to accomplish. When we see his story unfold throughout the scriptures, we see that Moses' mother played an instrumental part in keeping him alive, but nurturing the fearless leader that he would one day become. There are lessons of faith in Jochebed's life that we can all learn from today. So whether you are a mother figure, a father, a son, or a daughter, there's something for you to take away this morning. But to appreciate Exodus 2, we must go back to Exodus 1. So at the end of Exodus 1, we see that the children of Israel are in Egypt and they are slaves. They are working under a taskmaster among the Egyptian people. Joseph has passed away and there's a new pharaoh, a new king of the Egyptians, and they were concerned with the rising population of the Israelites among them. His first command was to put them under slavery, thinking that they would have no time and be too tired to multiply, but this didn't work. And then he commanded, his second decree was that the midwives would kill all of the baby boys that were born, but the midwives didn't agree to this. Then finally, his edict, his final decree, was that every male child would be cast into the Nile River. And Pharaoh commanded that all male babies would leave their mother directly and be placed straight into the river to their deaths to control the population. So if we see in chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 2, and she became pregnant and she gave birth to a son. When she saw him, she was fine and she hid him for 3 months. So in today's culture, when we are pregnant, we are rejoicing for the most part. We're excited. We are anticipating our newborn child. Maybe we are having maternity photos taken, cute sonogram photos on our fridge. We would have gender reveal parties. And in preparation for our newborns, baby showers, and all the events. But in this environment, this is not what Jochebed experienced. She most likely experienced fear and anxiety. She must have felt stress every day carrying that child. She didn't have ultrasounds to find out if it was a girl or a boy. For 9 months, she had to think, is this son going to be taken away from me? Is he going to have to go into this decree that Pharaoh has commanded? It does not say in the text who Moses' parents were in verse 2. But we see in Exodus 6 that Moses' parents were Amrad and Jochebed. And the Bible says, when she, Jochebed, saw that her child was fine, she hid him. Try to imagine to put yourself in her shoes for a moment. The closest I could think of as I've been pondering this for weeks was when my children were younger. As most of you know, we were missionaries in India, and we would travel back and forth. I had high-risk pregnancies, so I would come home between 32 and 35 weeks, and I'd wait for the delivery of our child. And when they were 4 to 6 weeks old, we would travel back to India. Have you ever been that person on a plane and there's that one crying baby for 12 hours? Okay, that's hard enough to keep your baby quiet on an airplane. I've experienced that. But for 3 months, she had to hide her child. She, not only that, but she had other children. The Bible says that she had 2 other children. And if they're like my children, they don't know how to keep secrets. So she had to keep her children from telling the secret. Her husband had to go to work with an exhaustion after having a newborn baby that's been crying probably most of the night. And they had to hide within themselves the secret that they were doing. Hebrews 11, verse 23 says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. I believe that maybe part of this was a maternal instinct, but I also believe it was the fear of the Lord. They were godly parents who did not fear the king, and they put their trust in Jesus. She modeled her faith without fear. Mothers, how are we modeling our faith in today's time? How are we modeling our faith to our children? Now, verse 3, it says, but when she could not hide him any longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. You see, it must have got to the place where it was becoming too dangerous, maybe for the rest of her family, to keep hiding this newborn. Or perhaps the Lord directed her steps. After all, she was breaking the law, the command of Pharaoh. We see back in verse 1 that Jochebed came from a Levite tribe. They were known to be religious leaders and high priests in Israel. Moses' mother was a woman of faith, probably from a young age. This was her modeling out the faith that her parents had probably installed into her life. Jochebed's faith placed her baby into a basket and let go and let God intervene. You see, I believe she was trusting the Lord that so much she knew, possibly that God had a call on his life, or at very least a plan for him. She was willing to take a step of faith, and Jochebed modeled that faith. I think of Jochebed as she wove her basket in diligence against evil. I am convinced that she saw faith through the eyes of her obstacles, that God was going to move mightily. He was going to, even though the days she was suffering, she trusted him. She trusted that she would model her faith and that God would come through. Because of this, even though she was nameless in our eyes, Jochebed has so much that every day we can strive to walk out faith like Jochebed. Are you willing to weave a basket? A basket maybe the Lord is asking you to weave. I think of her as she sat there, pondering, possibly praying, what she knew that God was asking her to do, what she knew she was going to have to do. I want to go down to verse 4. It says, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The Bible does not indicate how old Miriam was or that Jochebed even instructed her to do this. But as I studied this text, it's kind of assumed that she was around the age of 10. And if you have ever had 10-year-olds, like I've had 10-year-olds, we know that usually they know everything that is going on. They don't need to be instructed of these things necessarily. I believe that Miriam witnessed her mother walking out her faith. I believe that Miriam wanted to be a part of God's story. She wanted to assist her mother in this faith journey that God was calling her to do. Verses 5 to 7. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and said, and sent her female slaves to get it. She opened it and saw a baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This was one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse him for you? We've all been in a room and a newborn baby enters, and how do we respond? What do we do? We all do the same thing. And in some of the texts I've read, different translations, it says the Egyptian women were filled with compassion. And I believe it also was that maternal instinct of, this beautiful baby. But you see, Pharaoh's daughter knew what her dad had commanded. She knew she was disobeying. She knew that if she did this, she may have a consequence. But God orchestrated it enough to give Moses a second chance. Continue on to verse 8 and 9. It says, yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby, and she nursed him. Now, here we have a mother who's just said goodbye to her baby. What grief she must have been feeling. How hard would that be if we put ourselves in her shoes? Then Pharaoh's daughter has this crazy idea to give this baby back to her, and she's getting paid now for it. Imagine the anxiety as she's walking back to tell her husband all that had unfolded. Imagine the stress that she's thinking, well, Pharaoh's daughter's saying this, but Pharaoh doesn't know this yet. Is this going to change for me? But she continued on. She chose to walk out a life in faith and not in fear. Not only did God place Moses back in the arm of Jochebed, but now she was being paid for it. God's plans are always better than ours. God always has something special in store for us if we are willing to weave those baskets. Surrender your ways to him because his plans are always better. In verse 10, it says, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named Moses, saying, I drew him from the water. Now, let's be honest. It must have been a lot easier for Jochebed to respond in anger and maybe even hatred towards God. God, why did you give me a baby boy during this decree? God, why did you give him back to me and I have to give him back again? God, why? Why is this horrible king ruling? If you're like me, the whys come so easily, but the faith doesn't always come so easily. But Jochebed modeled her faith daily. She lived it out for her children, and I believe she took every moment captive that she had with Moses. You see, she nursed him, and then The Bible doesn't specifically say, but back then it would probably be for around 5 years. 5 years was the maximum that Moses would have been in Jochebed's home. What would you do intentionally if you only had 5 good years? 5 good years with your child. God, 5 good years with your spouse. 5 good years in a relationship that you value. It would have been so easy for Jochebed to allow herself to be miserable and to choose that as the imprint on Moses' life. All of these circumstances were out of her control, but again, she chose to let go and let God. She modeled her faith even when it was hard. And secondly, she marked his life by her faith. Jochebed didn't know what we know now, and psychologists say 90% of children's personalities were developed by the age of 3. By the age of 3. That we have the opportunity to heavily invest. You are shaping, framing, and molding your child's behavior, his or her character, their values, their beliefs, and you play a significant role in that. Maybe you're thinking, really, what difference did she make in possibly those 5 years? It was such a little time frame. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith, when Moses has grown up, he refused to be known as Pharaoh's son. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Jochebed marked his life. He wanted to be known as Jochebed's son. In verse 27, it says, by faith he left Egypt. You see it again in verse 28, it says, by faith. Moses was not perfect and had all kinds of struggles with God, but Moses' faith was marked and shaped by his mom. Her faith left a lasting mark on his life. Moms, do not fall into the traps of giving your children stuff. It doesn't matter if they are 5, 15, 50, they need you. It is never too late to be able to continue to mark your children's life with faith. Moses' Egyptian's mom gave him affluence, but his Hebrew mom gave him influence. His Egyptian mom gave him lots of resources, but his Hebrew mom gave him relationship. Remember what the scripture just told us, that he wanted to be known not as Pharaoh's daughter's son, but as Jochebed's son. She gave him a legacy of faith, and she invested deeply. And I don't want you to underestimate the role that you are in your child's life. Not only was she a model of faith, but she marked him with faith. And the third truth today is that I want to leave you with, that she left a maturing faith on his life. The reason I believe this is not only because of Moses' life and what he accomplished for God, but he wrote later that he was influenced by his mother. And of course, it was mostly inspired by God, but I do believe that his mother played a significant role in this text. We see in Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7, he writes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when they sit at home, when they walk along the road, and when they lie down, and when they get up. This is what I envision that Jochebed did for the 5 years that Moses had him in her home. This is what I envision their lifestyle looked like. And years later, he wrote about it. This impressed his life and who he was to become. This is a lifestyle of maturing faith. Jochebed raised 3 world changers by her faith, her courage, and her strength and ability to let go and let God. It was out of her control to allow her children to walk out their own salvation. It was out of her control to give Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter. That's what it looks like to have a maturing faith. You might be here and you might be in a season where your children need to lament before the Lord for hard things. Let go and let God refine them as he refines us. Maybe there is someone here today and the Lord is asking you to let go and to trust him as you weave your basket. He is asking you to trust him as your child who is maybe not excelling in school, who is choosing the wrong friends. You may have adult children who are going through a divorce or separation. Adult children who are not serving the Lord, even though you tried your very best to raise them in a Christian home. Maybe you're facing addiction. Maybe you're facing financial difficulties, the dream of marriage, or children that did not happen for you. Whatever that basket is in your life that the Holy Spirit is leading you to weave, to let go and to let God, I want to encourage you to have faith like Jochebed. She was faithful and trusted God to live out her life in the most difficult of times. She never lived to hear about all the amazing things that Moses accomplished, but Jochebed's life was consistent and her faith was rooted in her identity of faith. Mothering can be one of the hardest jobs, and Google actually ranked it as the job that gets the least amount of thank yous. So you may not feel valued as you sit here today, but I promise you, you are making a significant difference. And even if your children have left your home, it's not too late. Continue to model your faith for your children day by day. Leave lasting marks of faith and have a maturing faith that they can look up to. I'm going to close with a quick story that my mentor once told me. I'm going to try to paraphrase it the best I can remember, but there was a room of theologians, and they were all bickering and arguing about the best version of the Bible. And one stood up and said, "The King James Version, of course, is the best." And the other one stood up and said, "No, the New American Standard is the best." And if it was in today's time, maybe someone would stand up and say, "No, the Message Bible is the best." But there was a man, an older gentleman, who was quiet. He was known to have a doctorate degree in ministry, and he didn't say too much. He liked to observe the scenes around him. In a quiet voice, they leaned over and said, "Doctor, what translation of the Bible do you prefer?" He said, "I prefer the one that translates into real life. I prefer the one that my mother lived out." And that's the Bible. Each of us have an opportunity to take the scriptures and to live it out, to translate that scripture into real life. Mothers, live out the scriptures for your children daily. It is hard. Leave it to the Lord. Weave that basket and give it back to him. What faith Jochebed displayed as she let go and she let God. I want you to say it with me. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Amen. I'm going to close in prayer. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life of Jochebed, and I thank you that she did not choose bitterness, that she clung to you in difficult times, and God, that you are always good and worthy to be trusted. God, I thank you for each mother here. I pray that you would encourage them and that your Holy Spirit would empower them. Give them joy each and every day as they face many trials and things that each of us don't know that we are going through. May they rely on your strength only. God, remind each mother that it is a privilege to invest deeply and to impact our children for your kingdom. I pray a special prayer over single mothers. It is one of the hardest jobs to do alone. I pray that that you would send people alongside of them to give them rest, and that they would see themselves the way you see them, God. I pray for the woman who is still waiting, who desires to be a mother. God, that you would answer that prayer if that is your will in your perfect timing. God, I pray for the woman who never had children of her own, and maybe that will never happen. God, that you would send women alongside of them, that she could nurture, that she could disciple, she can be a godly mother figure in that woman's life. I pray for the woman who doesn't have good memories when they think of their mother. God, may you heal that void. God, may you fill that peace in her heart that only comes from you. God, I pray for the woman here today that this is the first story of woman of faith that she is hearing. God, may you draw her heart to want to experience this peace that Jochebed displayed, this faith that she has witnessed for us. God, I thank you for the moms, and we celebrate them today. In your mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Christina. God, we thank you for your presence today. And we thank you for the word that was spoken, the truth that was spoken. And Lord, we want to pray for all the mothers here today. And may you continue to be with them, strengthen them, give their faith, Lord, when things are tough, that you'll be with them. Because you are for us, as we just sang the song. You are for us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for everyone here today. And I just pray, God, that as we leave this church, may your presence continue to go with us, Lord. And all the things that we do and say, that you'll be glorified. We thank you once again for your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen.
You can, you can just take your seats as we enter into our communion segment. I want to read again Paul's instructions that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That last song was a great transition into communion, the blessing that that the Lord is on our families, on our congregation, on us as individuals. The greatest blessing is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus gave us this remembrance. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." In other words, let's let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts as we come into this remembrance. And as I normally like to do, I'm going to pray, and let's ask the Spirit to do that, to move in our hearts, prepare us. And you be praying as well, asking the Spirit to make you aware of anything that's preventing you from coming into his presence in a way that pleases him. So let's do that together. Lord God, I want to thank you again for Jesus. Thank you for the message that we've heard, Lord, today, and your Spirit that moves in our hearts. God, thank you for family and all the blessings of that. Lord, I thank you for all the mothers who are present here with us and those who couldn't be here today. And so, God, we are so in awe of all that you have blessed us with, and it all comes because of your great compassion towards us in our sin, your sending of your Son to die for us. So, God, may we never take that lightly. Lord, may we always rejoice. May we think of that every day, go through our days thinking of the incredible sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, Lord, and the great mercy that is new and fresh for us every morning because of that. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us as we enter this observance, help us to do that with purity of heart. God, help us to turn away from and abandon all selfishness and lack of compassion for one another, Lord, unforgiveness. God, all of the things that cause us to break fellowship with one another. Lord, this is the meaning of this passage that we've just read, because Jesus died for the unity of the body. So God, may we enter this observance in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord, with hearts that are loving and compassionate and lifted upward to you in gratitude, thanksgiving for all you've given to us. And so we thank you for Jesus, and we pray your blessing on this observance now. In his name, amen. Could the elders and others join with me up here today as we serve the elements.
Feel his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen. Bless you. Please help yourself with tea and coffee.